Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It is time to get classy. And we have a special guest with us joining us today.
Another special episode.
We have one of our favorites from Inside Pulse Wrestling. We have Rhett Davis over here. Say hi to the folks.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah.
We brought in Rhett to join in on our yearly
tradition
that we started over on Inside Pulse, and we're still doing it there. Yeah. We're just kind of using this podcast as a way to further explain ourselves, but we'll get to that later.
Yes.
So Raw happened,
and we're back.
Raw. you could feel the energy in Rhett's voice in that hoorah.
I mean, it was going to be like that after.
Yeah.
Last week.
Right, and then unfortunately, we also had the very unfortunate events happening in Boston earlier that day. So a lot of people probably weren't in the mood to be all that energetic about it. But I mean, we knew regardless that it was going to be, you can't match what happened last week. It just you can't.
You could have.
Well, you could have.
Greenville.
You could have.
Shape up.
And I blame our friend Jeff, who was there in the audience.
Houston got close.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Valley, New Jersey. I read somewhere on Twitter today, it was like, you know what? I'm more excited about the crowd next week than I am about actual Raw, because they're going to be in UK.
London, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
But.
So, let's see. Punk came out.
Yeah.
And he, you know,
quick
very
highlights.
Very awkwardly, I would say.
Lost his smile.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
And we're assuming this is the beginning of him, you know, taking his time off, which, by all means, he deserves it. He's been going steady since he came into the business, really.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a brief between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam off. But he was really, like, he was pretty in the spotlight for that. Because
right.
He was, like, you know, crashing Comic-Con and everything.
Exactly.
And he got injured for a while there. Did some
yeah.
commentary.
Oh, yeah. Remember Punk on commentary?
I do remember Punk on commentary. It was a glorious time.
Man.
Him in that coat.
But
and
that's
the Colt Cabana shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a thing. Selfishly, I'm sad that I won't get to see Punk every week. But
Yeah.
It's not like he hasn't earned it. It's not like, you know, he'll be back. And he'll probably come back as a face, because they can't get people to boo him after 6 months of
not being there.
Heelish tendencies. So.
Or do you think it'll be 6 months?
I'm saying they've tried for 6 months to get us to boo him. So it was six consistent months of Punk being a heel and crowds still won't boo him. He can't come back fresh off and get the, you know, the comeback pop that everybody gets anyway.
Well, I think a lot of it depends on how long he's gone. If he's gone let's say 6 months, I'm really hoping it won't be that long, but if he's off 6 months, he will come back with a pretty large pop, I think.
Yeah.
And a big face ovation, I think. Now, if it's a 3 months-ish, maybe not. Maybe people still boo him. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you still think he'll get a face pop?
I think he will definitely get a face pop.
What do you think, Rhett?
Unless it's like a week or less than a month, I think he's going to get a face pop no matter how long he's gone.
Fair enough.
I mean, I think there's if he showed up next week, then half the crowd will be giving him a face pop anyway.
Well, yeah, he gets half a face pop most of the time anyway. So
yeah.
It won't take much. So we move on. Ryback explains his actions and he refuses to save Cena from the Shield. Okay, apparently a lot of people got some heat on that.
I like that promo.
The stuff I liked. No, I'm just saying, like, the crowd reaction at the very end.
Oh, the boring chant?
Yeah.
Oh.
you know, those just some people weren't really into it. Some people are flat out booing Ryback because, you know, they think he's a heel now. I'm assuming he's kind of half and half. I'm not sure.
I think they're going full heel, though, with his actions on Raw.
Yeah, he's heading that direction, I think. It all depends on how much they really want to push him. Like, I know with Punk taking his time off, they're going to need a big-time heel that can, you know, go up against Cena. Mm-hmm. So I understand the move. Just like Joel, I like the promo that he did.
I talked about it last week about how, you know, the first thing out the window at WWE is any sort of story consistency. And that, like, here's, you know, points over the past 6 months, here's video recaps that are older than 3 months. I was like,
I really
like this.
They actually have somewhat,
it
had some continuity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that wasn't the plan in October, but it looked like, oh, there's been this storyline building under our noses this whole time, and here it is. So,
I'm okay with it. It's, it could be doing worse.
Yeah, no, I'll totally take it. And especially for, you know, I've never felt that Ryback is super good on the mic.
No.
Letting him do that pre-recorded thing, I thought was a good move.
Yeah, it was a good decision. I think it would have felt a lot differently if he tried to do that live or in the ring or something like that.
Had to deal with all the audience reactions to it, which probably would have been bad.
And it's probably best to, you know, just take them out of the equation for that segment. So I'm okay with it.
Right. Right. And, you know, and I guess you're pretty clear that this is going to be an Extreme Rules matchup.
Right, yeah.
Which
I'm okay with. The only other one we have so far is not confirmed, but we'll be getting, a Brock and Triple H.
Triple H, yeah.
So, Steel Cage.
Steel Cage match.
Hooray!
I'm surprised, you know, Extreme Rules has kind of been getting a big push these past couple of years. That Brock's return match was in Extreme Rules last year.
Yeah.
You know, and Triple H, who I assumed was going to go back behind the tie, was, you know, after WrestleMania, might be wrestling again at Extreme Rules. So
yeah, I mean, you know, they've kind of got to make money.
So. Yeah, they're minimizing that pocket of suck, so I'm okay with it. I mean,
anything they can do with that, yeah.
I mean, another Brock and Triple H match doesn't necessarily minimize the pocket of suck. But, you know, I feel like the post-WrestleMania slump can be largely attributed to WWE coasting post-WrestleMania for a lot of that time. And it feels like these past couple of years that they have not. They've at least been trying. They've been putting in the people that they think will draw and the matches they think will draw. And whether they do or not, it does feel like WWE wants to make that time less terrible, which was not true 3 or 4 years ago.
No, it's definitely seemed like this year they were willing to do more different things during this time. Now, of course, they want to go, you know, when we get to WrestleMania at that time, they want to go with sure things. But this is the time where they'd like to see if something will draw. If it does, then they'll definitely carry them over to WrestleMania. So it's not a bad model to go after.
Right.
Raw, we saw a lot of champions.
Yeah.
Lose for really no reason. They put the U.S. belt on Kofi.
We've heard dirt sheet rumors that Kofi is about to turn heel.
Right.
I don't know if this is any kind of, you know,
starting for that.
Yeah. If there is any, like. Because they never have stories for Kofi. Kofi never gets a story.
No. And anytime he gets a mid-card belt, we're always like, oh, okay, Kofi's going to get that push that we've been waiting for. And it never happens.
Nope.
He just kind of holds on to the belt for a few months before they find someone else they want to push.
Not since his feud with Orton, anyways.
Exactly. Absolutely.
That was like 3 years ago.
It's
2009.
Yeah, okay, almost 4 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So,
Ziggler being beat for no real reason. Wade Barrett was beaten for no real reason.
Yeah. After the champion last week was beaten
for no real reason. Yeah.
Well, his reason was he has to go film that movie.
That's right. To do straight TV movies. Awesome.
Yep.
Right.
The Christmas Bounty coming to an ABC Family near you. Part of their 25 Days of Christmas marathon.
You're probably going to watch that, aren't you?
Heck yes. The Miz is my 412th favorite actor of all time.
Triple H is my third.
Triple H in... No, Triple H was on Mad TV once. It was pretty awesome.
I remember that, yeah.
They did a Harry Potter parody with Triple H.
Of all the things, they go with that. All right.
Hunter, Harry, Hemsley, or whatever they did, it was really awesome.
Nice. Well, I guess on that note...
Oh, I do want to mention...
Oh.
So, I don't know how you guys feel... But I'm pretty sure that WWE is going to kill Fandangoing.
Yeah.
It's like Tout was.
Yeah. Right. What's the theory that, you know, if you're trying to get someone to not be addicted to something, they kind of, like, overdo it with that one thing? Submersion theory, I think is what it is.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Essentially, that's what it feels like they're doing. They kill Fandangoing on their Twitter and everyone else's Twitter for the past week. And then nothing makes anything sound less cool than having Jerry Lawler introduce it.
Yeah.
As soon as you got that, all of a sudden you're like, okay, now I don't like this anymore. Like, you know, calling it Daniel Bryan a goat face or really anything along those lines. Like anything that that Jerry is really gung-ho about. Like Kelly.
Yeah.
We just tend to just... Oh, it just sounds so... What's the word?
Yeah.
Forced?
N-U-G-H. Yeah.
Yeah. Gooey and sticky and gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Part of the... For better or for worse, part of the fun of being a WWE fan is not liking what WWE does so much of the time.
True.
Right. Part of the fun of doing those yes chants last year was WWE did not want those yes chants to exist.
No.
And they couldn't stop us because we were live crowds. So right. We were going to yes chant anyway.
And they, like, Fandangoing, WWE didn't even see that coming. They just, it was something the fans did on their own. And WWE was like, hey, we can use that. And then they overdo it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you heard about all week. And essentially, you know, this Monday night, they just were jamming it down everyone's throats. So, yeah, it feels a little dirty now.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with it, too.
Thanks,
I like Fandango. I still like it. I'll still wear my homemade Fandango shirt very proudly, but...
Way to kill the things that I love. You hug too hard.
This is why you don't support the WWE.
Don't
support what they're trying hard to put over.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, you know, there's kind of a no-win situation. It's why I've said before on the podcast that I think that the GM of Raw should always be a heel because
right. There's
this big cathartic, you know, thing of being able to boo authority.
Mm.
It's why I think it's a key reason Stone Cold was as popular as he was, you know, his direct making Vince's life difficult. And so I think that even though, you know, they don't have, there's not such an obvious, you know, figurehead to hate like Mr. McMahon was back then, I think the idea that WWE, the you know, people in charge of WWE are against us, the fans, and so being able to, you know, cheer for what they don't want you to cheer for.
Right.
Is kind of a cool feeling. You know, you're the cool kid on the playground.
Right, now. Right. You feel like, you know, oh yeah, you know, F the police kind of thing. Like, we're running against authority kind of situation. Yeah, I understand it.
And maybe that's a leftover thing from the Attitude Era. Because Cena is the face, and he's always been company man and, you know, pro WWE. So it might be the you know, the age that I am right now, the stuff that I grew up on, stuff that I'm nostalgic for. But to me, yeah, when WWE endorses something, that is not a good thing.
No. yeah, I agree.
So, Fandangoing, RIP, 2013 to 2013.
Yep.
That lasted a whole week.
Yep.
Alright, so I guess that's a good time as any to move on to the main reason we're all here. We have made what we think would be a great WrestleMania card for WrestleMania 13. Well, it might not be a great card. But
what we think will happen.
What we believe will happen, slash what we hope will happen.
It's kind of a merge. There's some stuff in there that I put because, yeah, that's going to happen. And then there's some stuff that I have put because I would really like to see that.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's no... It's an incredibly difficult thing. It's a thing... It's an idea that I got a couple years ago, I guess after WrestleMania 26, when I was, it was, you know, my first WrestleMania in a long time, I was all hyped up, and then WrestleMania was over, and so I was ready for the next WrestleMania, and so, that's the thing, is like, I was like, that's where the biggest matches happen, so here's, you know, and I was like, these will be, you know, I kind of armchair booked, this will be the next WrestleMania, and then 27 rolled around, and I was so wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I was jaw-droppingly wrong.
And I mean, I don't remember what you guys picked, but I remember I did not get a single match correct at all last year.
Yeah, this is my fourth or fifth time doing. I have yet to get a single match correct. But it's, you know, it's not really to get matches correct for me.
Right.
But it is a good way to. It's a fun way to see how much the WWE changes in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, the heel turn, face turns, the people who get pushed, the people who don't get pushed that we thought were going to get pushed, the people who get, you know, dropped, the people that get injured.
The people that they add on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
So before we really dive into this, I know there's one question Joel really wants to ask.
Yeah, I've looked at everybody's prediction cards for WrestleMania 30. And I noticed something about your card, Rhett. This year at WrestleMania, we had 10 booked matches.
We only did 9.
We only saw 9 of them, and one of them was on the pre-show. You have 12 matches on your card.
I have 12? I thought it was 12 11.
Matches. Even if it was 11, how do you think we're going to fit that into WrestleMania?
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
We're all counting out.
Oh, God, yeah, it was 12. Oh, man. Yeah. Can we bring Money in the Bank back?
To consolidate.
Both me and Chris did. I definitely did. I put like an 8-man or 9-man match on mine just to fill in a lot of those people who will obviously be on the card, but I didn't have anything for them.
Well, so. It's kind of hard to pick it whenever the top, you know, 3 or 4 matches are probably going to be singles.
Right.
That takes up like half your card right there.
Right. And it's a lot of part-timers.
Right.
So that's a big thing I noticed. I don't know about you guys, but I noticed making my card this year was how much I think this catering to part-timing has hurt it. WrestleMania, because there's, you know, we talk about the mid card and there's such a huge mid card right now, and it's a mid card that isn't really a mid card. These are guys that are like, they're just kind of crowded at this bottleneck, ready
to the top,
ready
to get to the top. Oh yeah,
I could easily see like Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, The Miz. I could easily see any of those guys in a top card position within the next year, but because my top card is full of Undertaker and Brock and Triple H and stuff, and they get kind of like shoved into the shoved back down. So
yeah, and I felt like this is after because like you said last week, WrestleMania 29 wasn't bad. We all came to that consensus, but I felt like we got a lot of this part-timer stuff out of our system. I feel like now is a good time for WWE to really build their mid-card talent and bring them up a notch so that by the time we get to WrestleMania 30, we can start to fill in more of these top cards with or the top card matches with these guys that have been in the mid card. So, I mean, we're still going to get some part-timers next year. I know it. I mean, that at least two or three are definite that we're going to get.
Yeah.
So, it's I think WrestleMania 30 will be a good transition from the overly part-timer card into more of a full-time card.
I think that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're saying that would be a good time. Like, 30 is going to be such a celebration of
WWE. Oh, yeah.
I don't think that will happen until after 30. Which is a shame, but yeah. I think that's pretty much how it is.
Yeah.
Rock
and Brock have already been signed on for another year, so we're definitely going to be seeing them. Triple H is kind of up in the air.
Yeah, you never really know how that's going to roll out. And then, you know, got Taker.
Yeah. Who wrestled when he feels like. Speaking of, if we want to just go ahead and start the cards, everybody, I think, picked Undertaker versus Cena.
Yep.
Although, looking at Joel's, you have one extra.
I added a stipulation.
You added it for the... Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, I'm saying I don't want to speak for you, but you just kind of... I'm assuming the thought process was, it's got to be Cena at some point, and we're out of other options.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You did throw in that it was for the WWE Champion.
I thought it was
an interesting move.
I thought it was for the WWE Champion. Partially because so many of my top things were just part-timers and were grudge matches. I was putting the WWE Champion, like, you know, onto mid-carder people just because of how full the, you know, main event matches were becoming. I thought it would be interesting to have, and this is actually something I really wanted for Punk this year. I really would have loved to see streak versus streak match, Punk taking on Taker's WrestleMania streak and putting his WWE Championship match on the line. I would have rather seen that match than seen Twice in a Lifetime for the title.
Yeah.
Even still getting Twice in a Lifetime, if I could have put the WWE Championship stipulation on somewhere.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in that same vein, like, they probably wanted to throw the championship on that on Twice in a Lifetime, just so they have a reason to be fighting again.
No,
other than that, they really don't have much of a reason.
Cena getting redemption.
Redemption, fine.
And that was more of a reason than, you know, Taker and Punk had until Paul Bearer died.
Sure. Well, it also gave it a reason for it to go on last.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Well, it has to go on last.
Yeah.
But I was like, that to me is, it's a really cool, just an additional stake in the Taker match. I really didn't like the who gets the honor of challenging the streak kind of triple threat thing that they had this year.
No.
Yeah.
That CM Punk won. I guess it was a Fatal 4-Way. The one thing that CM Punk won. And if they choose Cena to be the one to end the streak, which would bum me out, I could be consoled that you have a really easy setup where Cena will have had the championship title for a long time, and CM Punk does not want Cena to beat his record. There's a really, you know, really easy way to put those guys back in the feud and have them main event WrestleMania 31. For the championship. So
you're thinking Taker has the championship?
No, I was saying Cena has the championship.
Okay.
But if Cena wins this match, he will have broken the streak and retained the championship.
Right.
Which will mean he will have had the championship for X amount of months leading into WrestleMania and will continue to have it.
Leading up to WrestleMania 31, where he's close to CM Punk's streak. Right. Okay,
alright. And CM Punk has to break it at WrestleMania.
So you're talking about him losing it and then regaining it in the next year?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Cena would have it from now till next WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Cena wins it, you know, somewhere like Elimination Chamber or something.
Right.
Okay.
And so this keeps the title with Cena for the bulk of.
So you're saying like Cena gets within, let's say Cena gets within 30 days of 434.
Right.
Okay. That so, is the number, right? 434.
I think so. Okay. Yeah, somewhere where like CM Punk has this one last chance to stop him, and it's at WrestleMania 31.
That would be really good, actually.
Yeah, that would.
I would really dig that. Like, yeah, of course, we'd have to deal with Cena having been champion for that long, but it's kind of worth it.
I think the payoff's worth it. I think, you know, as much as I hate to see Cena be the one to, you know, take away Taker's streak, I think there's easy promo material to be like, you know, you took away the opportunity to end the streak from me, you're not going to take away my 434.
Right.
You know, I think there's really good material for promos from Punk in this setup.
I've got to agree. That's solid booking there, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I go back and forth on how I want that match to go down with Cena and Undertaker. I don't know. I really don't want Cena to break the streak, but that's just me.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't either. That's, you know.
Right. But if it has to, you would want it to have some sort of bigger story.
Right. I am giving myself a consolation prize for Cena being the one to break the streak.
Right.
I would love Cena to lose, and then at 31, I don't know, Dean Ambrose to break the streak.
Yeah. Someone in their 20s.
Yeah. Somebody who can carry that, you know, feathered cap for a long, long time.
Who can use it to elevate themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cena doesn't need it.
No. He's already got enough.
Yes, he has a mini feather cap.
Yeah, he has like a peacock hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Where should we go now?
We know that Ryback has been signed, or not Ryback, Brock Lesnar has been signed. I believe that both Joel and Rhett chose Brock versus Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Chris did not.
I did not choose Brock Rock because. I am not buying this whole injury storyline, or not storyline, this whole injury thing with Rock that they've tried to shovel at us the past 2 weeks. I don't buy it. I think it's too convenient. And if you're trying to tell us that it's that severe of a injury that he had to go see his doctors immediately, but yet he didn't need surgery right when he needs to go, you know, train and shoot for this new movie, I think that's a little bit too convenient, I think. I think Brock kind of left in a huff after WrestleMania because the fan reaction was pretty horrible whenever he tried to raise Cena's hand at the end. And I think he just was giving himself a pity party and he left. And I think this whole injury thing was just a way for two parties to save face. Now, they might use this injury thing to say that, oh, Brock or Rock can't wrestle anymore or whatever to save his movie career. Whatever. I do not think we'll see him at WrestleMania 30. And so, instead, I have Brock Lesnar versus Ryback. Just because I didn't know what else to do with those two guys.
Fair enough.
I don't really have much of a reasoning for it.
I would not be opposed to a Brock-Ryback match. And I feel like that'll happen at some point. They're two giant, you know, men with fists. They will hit each other at some point.
The two corn-fed meatheads.
Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah, you two can go along with your Brock and Rock, you know, what everyone else is saying. I'm going against the grain.
This is totally something where, like, I kind of flip back and forth because of, you know, it was so sure until that, you know, Rock mysteriously
got injured.
Yeah. I just, you know, I go through the list and I'm like, guy, remember when Hulk Hogan was never coming back and then came back? You remember when Paul Heyman was never coming back and then came back? You remember when, you know, Rock was never coming back and then did come back? Money heals all wounds, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, and I was a little bit on the ledge of going one way or the other. Just because I knew that even if there were some ill feelings, you know, WWE's solution of throwing some money at it would definitely get at The Rock because he loves him some money. So
there are so many pockets waiting to be filled with Brock and Rock money.
Like, Brock probably has one of those Shield little pocket vests just for his money.
Just for his money?
Yeah. Totally.
So, so that was the thing where I was like, I personally ended up, this could go either way, but I'm gonna go this way because money, and because, honestly, that's, I would hope that they would say this can sell, this match can sell on name alone. We don't need to take up a lot of raw time showing highlight reels, because neither of these guys could be bothered to make it this week.
Right.
Yeah, you can tie it up. You can tie up both of them instead of tying up a regular star who has to fight like John Cena, Darren Young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where, you know, that's the worst part of Rock coming back is John Cena has had to cut promos against nothing.
Right.
And so, if nobody's there, then, you know, nobody's doing promos to the wall.
Pretty much. All right. I guess what would be good to do now is where we have CM Punk, what we have CM Punk doing.
We got the same.
Me and Joel have the same.
But Rhett, where'd you put CM Punk?
Yeah.
I have CM Punk fighting Alberto Del Rio.
Okay. And what's your reasoning behind that?
I didn't really have anyone for Punk to fight, and I thought it'd be a good way to have a technical bout there.
All right.
Fair enough. I have some of those. I did Stone Cold.
Yeah, same here.
I did that last year. I was just...
I know, and I picked it again this year, and I just think that it either happens here at 30 or it never happens.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a now or never mentality on that match.
Right. I just feel like that window is getting steadily, you know, smaller. Yeah. And I think after WrestleMania 30, I just don't think that Stone Cold would be up for it.
And if you'll remember, yeah, both of you picked that match. I didn't pick that one last year.
Yeah, I picked it last year.
I blame you, Joel.
You think it would happen if I picked it?
Mm-hmm. You didn't believe.
So, well, I'm believing in the Shield this year. So
there you go.
Yeah, that was just the thing. It was... They have both said they want this match to happen. 30 is, you know, a big number. There's no way Stone Cold won't show up in some capacity at WrestleMania 30.
Especially since it's going to be that big celebration type thing. You think that he's at least going to make an appearance, at the very least.
I hope so, because I'll be there.
You lucky. Well, yeah, it's right in your backyard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 8 hours away, so...
That's not necessarily a backyard, but close enough.
Close to the bottom of Louisiana. I'm in the top of it, so there we go.
Ah, gotcha.
So,
all right. Let's move on to. Well, Joel, he already.
I've said my WWE championship. But...
I have my WWE championship between Randy Orton as the champion versus Dolph Ziggler. What did you have, Rhett?
Had Randy Orton as the champion versus Ryback.
All right, so we were both believing that Randy Orton's going to be champion this time next year. I'm just thinking that, you know, WWE is going to push Randy Orton back to the top. You know, they've kind of had some treating him very gently since his suspension and injuries and stuff. I don't think they're ever going to get rid of Orton, so I just think they're just going to push him up.
Slowly.
Gently. And, you know, Ziggler... And, I mean, I'm not necessarily a big fan of Orton anymore. He's kind of fizzled out for me.
But he's just been in the holding pattern.
Exactly. He's just kind of going through the motions these days.
Well, we spoke about it in podcasts past that Randy Orton just... He started off so early, he did everything. Like, he's had a full career... He just started off so young, he's still, you know, young enough to be in the ring. So they need something for him to do.
Pretty much.
I did have, I had Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler as champion, fighting for, but I had him for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. Mm. But essentially for the same reasons.
Yeah, basically my hope of dreams would be that Dolph doesn't have to hold the title all year. But he stayed in the title picture all year.
Consistently, yeah.
I think that would do a lot both for him and for the heavyweight championship, which is, you know, easily playing second fiddle to the WWE championship.
It's almost getting surpassed by the Intercontinental Championship at this point.
I mean, it always will.
It's the new Intercontinental title.
Well, yeah.
But if they could, I think the way that Ziggler defends his title, like if they do that right, I think they could definitely... put some value back on that title
And not have him randomly losing on Monday Night Raw.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then Randy Orton's got to be on there somewhere. I was pretty much saying gentle and tentative nudges towards the championship scene again. Speaking of which, what did you guys have for your heavyweight championship matches?
Go ahead, Rhett.
For the world heavyweight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had Sheamus as champion defending against Antonio Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler.
All right, triple threat. I don't think I had Sheamus on my card at all. That was probably part of the wishful thinking that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I had, for my world heavyweight, I had Wade Barrett as champion versus Daniel Bryan. I'm still thinking, because I know that this is what they were planning last year. They were planning for Wade Barrett to win Money in the Bank and then, you know, cash in, be the world heavyweight champion, blah, blah, blah. And then he got hurt. That kind of threw a wrench in that. And they just didn't really go through with it. And from what I understand, they're still wanting to go in that direction with Wade Barrett. So I'm assuming that they're going to have him win Money in the Bank this year. And then, you know, I'm thinking maybe Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble. Right. It seems like that would be a nice feather in his cap.
I would like to point out that both of you have decided that Team Friendship will not be making it to next WrestleMania.
I just don't think that they'll last 2 years.
I see them done after Extreme Rules.
After Extreme Rules, really?
Yeah, I see, because I think they're going to be fighting S.H.I.E.L.D. for the tag titles. And I think that's going to be it.
Yeah, I think as soon as they lose the tag titles, it's... their days are numbered.
Yeah, they're going to have a feud, and then after that, it'll be back to singles.
I would love another year. I really would. Yeah, like, I was really kind of hesitant on it.
Right.
Because, yeah, another year is a long time for this team whose whole gimmick is that they don't get along. but they entertain me so that if I could squeeze another year out of those guys, I would totally hate it. Plus, there's no other hints as to who might be in a tag team, you know, a year from now. So what I had for the tag team championships is I had just Kane versus Daniel Bryan, and the winner would be the tag team champions.
that's great.
Basically unify the tag team champions, and then, you know, at the next pay-per-view, have whoever was the tag team champions have to defend against the tag team and just get destroyed.
That's either the dumbest thing I've heard or the most brilliant thing I've heard. I can't decide.
This is not something, WWE, that you have to wait till next WrestleMania. At any point, if you would like...
you want this to happen.
I would absolutely adore having Team Friendship fight each other for the tag team champions.
Alright. Okay.
I mean, it's something, you know, I'm talking about, like, it's something they haven't done. I mean, at least in a long time.
Right.
And I've always said I always wanted Mankind and Cactus Jack to hold the tag team champions. Or some equivalent of Mick Foley, you know, using his alter egos to be able to hold them.
Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. So this is my updated version of that. You guys want to spit out your tag team beliefs?
I don't know if I had a tag team.
No tag team for Chris. Chris doesn't even think...
Tag team championship usually is not defended at WrestleMania. But, along the same thing that you were saying, Joel, I do have the Shield breaking up and having a triple threat match between Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins. I think they'll at least last till WrestleMania season. And then they'll start to splinter, and then we'll have that match, which I would think would be a fantastic match.
Yeah, that would be a good match.
Do you have anything tag team related, Brett?
I had the team of Wade Barrett and The Big Show versus Fandango and Brodus Clay.
Oh, you put the dancers together. All right.
Yeah, I had the storyline that Wade and Big Show took out Sweet Tea, because it's Sweet Tea, and then Fandango took his spot.
Yeah, and I'm guessing you just needed the spot for Big Show to be in?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I put Big Show at all in my card.
Big Show's not on my card. I don't think Fandango's on my card either, though.
You're really expecting this all to fizzle out really quickly.
It killed me, man. Jerry Lawler endured something. I was like, nope. No. He'll be fired by May. All right. Yeah, we're kind of getting into... Well, let's go. Rhett, what were your mid-cards?
Or your other
stuff? Other matches?
Yeah, me and Chris had similar things for the mid-cards, so we'll get our mid-cards in a second, but...
Okay. Well, the first one I had is I had Triple H versus The Shield because, and if Triple H doesn't show up, then I had a triple threat for The Shield, all against each other.
Right.
Yeah, basically, Chris.
Yeah.
Did you have Triple H on your card?
I did not have Triple H on my card.
I don't have Triple H on my card either.
I don't know. I think he finishes up here soon.
If The Shield decided to attack Vince, they could go with that angle.
I totally do have Triple H on my card. I totally lied to you. Yeah, no, I had a whole storyline where Triple H was basically taking over the company. So it would be a Triple H versus Vince McMahon match. Then I put Ryback in Vince's corner, one, so it wasn't sad destruction of Vince, and two, so I could have Ryback on my card, which I didn't have at the time. But this would allow me to have Vince go out as a heel, which is always been his best character. People cheering when Vince comes out now weirds me out.
Mm-hmm.
So this was one of my like last minute additions.
Hey Joel,
what
have you ever seen Vince McMahon in person?
I
have.
I hate your face. Yours is the face with which I hate.
I've seen him too.
Hey, Brett's seen him too. Yeah.
Oh, you guys should go from your own little club.
So. Oh yeah. Oh, we have Jason has joined us here in the studio. Jason's seen him as well. Yeah, you did.
You're all the worst. I saw Paul Heyman before you did. I was leaning forward in my seat.
Oh, I still haven't seen Heyman.
First.
I was about to say we were in the same arena, sitting next to each other.
It really saddened me that I didn't get to see this in person.
But it's okay because whenever we were at Celebration, Jason didn't get to see George Lucas.
Jason didn't get to see George Lucas. I have seen George Lucas in person.
I have too.
Twice.
Oh, well, that's different.
And I've seen Jon Stewart in person.
No, I hate you.
Yeah! See how it feels? Alright.
We're getting off topic.
Yeah, but this would be my retirement match for Vince.
Right. And so basically you're saying Vince would just come in, essentially be quote unquote ruining the product or being the big bad guy in power, and then Triple H would be our knight in shining armor come in to save the deck.
Right.
Save the company.
Yeah. I gave Vince Ryback. We could keep Ryback a heel. And then actually give Triple H somebody to actually fight in the ring.
Mm.
But you know, as much as WrestleMania 30 is gonna be Celebration thing, I threw in a little torch passing there.
Of their own, yeah.
But Vince has had the first 30 years, and then Triple H will be in charge of the next 30.
God, Joel, I hate when your card makes sense.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Way too much thought into this.
Continuing through random ones. Rhett, I think you're the only one that put Chris Jericho on their card.
Oh. Yep, I had Jericho too. I had him fighting Daniel Bryan.
That'd be a cool match.
That would be a really good match. I don't know. I felt like I was kind of running out of space on my card, so I really didn't put
that doesn't matter to Red.
I know. 12 matches. Red doesn't
care. We'll make it 7 hours next year.
30 hours. One.
We'll start it at 4.
Alright.
I mean, that's part of the thing where, you know, I thought about Chris Jericho, but I was trying to limit myself to 9 slots because they had 9 matches this year. And that there wasn't room for Chris Jericho. And I was like, you know, he'll definitely be gone in a couple of months. And I don't know if he'll be back or not.
Right.
I want to ask you about this Titus O'Neil versus Mark Henry match.
Why?
It's that's one of the whole, they could go that way. Not necessarily something I want, but they're high on Titus O'Neil. And
right, yeah.
They could push him, and why not?
Right.
I mean, yeah, there can always be a why not. I mean, if this is the match that ends up making it out of all of our cards, it's like
Titus O'Neil versus Mark Henry.
If the match that makes it to WrestleMania 30 is Titus, I'm going to be so upset.
Like, more upset than seeing Cena, you know, defeat the streak.
I'll be just in awe. I'll ask Rhett to do all my homework forever. Like, you know the answers.
We're not even in school anymore.
I will go back to school because I'm like, I have a Magic 8 Ball now. You know, you guys don't get it. Rhett called Titus O'Neil versus Mark Henry.
Fair enough. All right, I guess let's move to the mid-card belts now. We'll go with Rhett's first because he actually had, you know, individual matches.
Yeah.
Your United States Championship, who do you have on that?
I had Kofi Kingston as champ, and this would be after he lost it and regained it, versus, and he's a heel there, versus Evan Bourne.
Hmm.
I'm excited. I too brought Evan Bourne back.
I completely forgot to put him in there.
Yeah.
So I'm just assuming that he'll find a way to get hurt before, between here and now.
Yeah, no, I almost put, what Chris and I both, have a ladder match, that would unify both the Intercontinental and the U.S. Championships. And this comes from, there was a rumor that something along those lines might come into play this year. It didn't materialize, but Chris pointed this out, and ever since he pointed it out to me, it felt completely accurate that WrestleMania lacks that something crazy that was TLC, and then TLC got its own pay-per-view, and then it was Money in the Bank.
The Money in the Bank got its own pay-per-view, so we didn't have that. So, like, either, you know, we would always have Money in the Bank either start off WrestleMania or towards the beginning of the card, beginning of the night kind of situation.
Just kind of kick things into high gear.
Yeah.
And so, you know, something like that I think would be a cool, super thing. You know, yeah,
something different, something that'll get the crowd energized and really into the night.
That also is, for me at least, that was an easy way to stick in 8 people who I knew had a good chance of being on the card.
Yeah. I put in 10 just because that's what was rumored. I'll go ahead and say mine. Essentially, it's a double ladder match for both the Intercontinental Championship and the U.S. Championship. Not necessarily unifying them, but you technically could. And the 10 people I have in that match is Kane, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, Sheamus, Cassius Ohno, Big E Langston, Alberto Del Rio, and Fandango. I don't really know who would win out of all that. I just think it would be a really cool idea. And essentially, it's one of those things where, you know, the match is over once anyone has, you know, claimed both the titles. I mean, not one person, but, you know.
That would actually be cool, yeah. I just had it as a unification match. But, yeah, if, like, somebody got one of the titles and the match just continued.
Right. And, see, that's what they were proposing with this one. It was supposed to be Cesaro's big match, whatever, and then Vince doesn't like Antonio, so they just decided not to do it.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I want to change my answer now. Yeah, no, I had a unification thing with the Shield involved, Wade Barrett, Evan Bourne, Kofi, Miz, Kane, Christian, and Big E. Oh, I did have 10.
Yeah.
And yeah, I put in Evan Bourne because
he does flips.
Yeah, ladders, man.
Ladders. Yeah. And he's,
he goes crazy.
High. He likes getting high.
Yeah. Double entendre.
Yeah.
You're
welcome.
I had the Shield defending one of those titles because they're going to start winning some titles.
Here. Oh, yeah. They're going to start winning some titles here soon.
And I had Big E defending the IC because I would really like is to have the whole family unit of Ziggler, Big E, and AJ to basically hold all of the SmackDown titles at once. Let Big E be Intercontinental, let AJ be Divas, and then Dolph.
Heavyweight.
Heavyweight. And so, yeah, originally I had AJ and Caitlyn, with AJ defending as the Divas match of the night. But then both of you picked that exact same match.
AJ and Caitlyn.
Who else is there?
I mean, that's part of the thing about Divas. I think everybody picked, last year, all of us picked Karma and
Beth.
Beth. Yeah.
And then they're both gone.
Yeah, neither one of them is in the company.
So, so I ended up changing it to Bella versus Bella, just because that's an easy match to do.
Confusing match to call.
Theoretically, but yet they could still use Twin Magic on Raw this past Monday.
That did bum me out. I was like, no, you can't use Twin Magic anymore. There are rules.
Rhett, you still have an Intercontinental Championship. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I had Cody Rhodes, Kane, Christian, and Miz as a filler match because I had no idea what to do with the Miz.
Right.
Yeah.
Other than just not put him on there.
Well, he'll probably be promoting the latest WWE movie that he's starring in at the time, so they'll definitely put him on the card.
The Scorpion King 4?
Yeah, man.
He'll be
one of the few WWE guys who is not in the Scorpion King franchise yet. I think that's your full card, isn't it, Rhett?
Let me look. That'll do it.
Chris, do you have any extra things that we haven't discussed?
Nah, I think I've touched on all mine, yeah.
Alright, I think my final one...
I have
Rey Mysterio versus Del Rio.
Do you still think Rey's gonna be in the company still? I'm thinking he's gonna retire.
I mean, I have this as a retirement match. I think the past two I've predicted, for 29 and 28, I've predicted a Rey Mysterio Sin Cara mask versus mask competition.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Sin Cara is probably the biggest disappointment in the past couple of years. Like, just as much as WDB hyped him and seemed to be willing to back him.
Right, yeah.
And what the way he turned out to be. So, yeah, I've booted Sin Cara from that lineup.
Yeah.
But I think Rey has done enough for the company. He's done enough for just the style of wrestling and, you know, that fan base, that he will get a WrestleMania if he wants one, and if he can, you know, be healthy at the right time.
Right.
He'll get a WrestleMania retirement match. There's so many iconic shots you can do with him, like leaving the mask in the ring, or like, you know, holding it over his head, you know, in championship style, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's easy thing to do, a nice, you know, so, you know, retire him at WrestleMania 30. I need to stick Del Rio somewhere, and, you know, these guys have had a genuine history. So, that was my thought process on there.
Fair enough.
Or Rey will never wrestle again. Which is probably equally as likely as him getting his mask match.
Yeah.
But if I were to retire Rey Mysterio, that's how I do it, is mask removal match and do it at a, you know.
And he finally lose one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the tradition of the luchador style is, I mean, there's a lot of, like, it would shame and disgrace him, so that might, you know, if that stuff is played, I'd, you know, really play that down. And that might be too ingrained in the style that you can't, you know, brush off that is a disgrace, and you shouldn't do that.
Well, but, he's been unmasked before.
Yeah, he's been unmasked, and I think he's actually lost a match like that before. And they took it off, and he hit his head, his face, and he kept wearing a mask.
He has in WCW. It's never been mentioned in WWE. Mm-hmm. It's kind of considered non-canon.
Right.
I remember
it was a SmackDown match. I think he lost one against Jericho, and he just never got around to taking the mask off.
I don't remember him losing. Like, I remember
him losing the match, but he never took the mask off.
I remember there was a ladder match where he was going, and then I think CM Punk pulled his mask off, and that, you know, that's why he couldn't reach up.
That was Del Rio.
Del Rio pulled
that. That was Del Rio.
He couldn't reach up and grab the whatever because he was too busy covering his face.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, the mask has come off plenty, but
they use it in almost every single one of Rey's storylines now.
Yeah. That's his teddy bear.
Right.
So,
Well, I guess that does it for our matches. Well, solid cards by all three of us.
I would pay top dollar for any of these WrestleManias.
With Titus O'Neil and Mark Henry?
That would definitely be the pre-show match that I could watch on the YouTube.
All right. Well, I guess all that's left to do is it's time for a new feature here.
Oh, geez.
At Classy Ring Attire. It's time to reach into Chris's mail sack.
The mail sack.
Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack?
I'm not endorsing that theme song.
Ooh, no.
Who cares if I wrote it?
Okay, so before we recorded this podcast, I asked our audience, our viewers, our listeners.
Viewers.
Look at that camera. Number ticking up.
Candy camera.
Our Twitter followers, we asked all these people to what are some of their predictions for WrestleMania 30. Our good friend Nathan, he was on our WrestleMania episode. He says it will probably be Cena versus Taker, unless they want someone in the streak, in which case I'm calling Ambrose versus Taker. And that kind of goes back to what you were saying, Joel.
Yeah, Ambrose is, you know, I was big on The Miz a few years, and I wanted Miz to be the one to break the streak. Miz is still technically undefeated at WrestleMania, so
there's that.
I think there is kind of a thing you could sneak in there, being like, he'll be the one to, he'll make a longer streak. But yeah, Ambrose is the new guy I'm stoked on, so.
Right. Let's see, we have a couple Taker versus Rock people. Our friend, Neil, this comes in from him. He says that Team Friendship's story this year is a long and difficult breakup, ending with a scheduled career-ending match at WrestleMania, only to have them tearfully reunite, refusing to fight, and subsequently invade every match afterwards to win every single belt. So
he says to take every single belt.
Or to take every single
belt. I assume they were holding them hostage.
Well, there's that.
Even the Divas.
Yes. Right. There's a few people that believe that we'll get a Rock Cena thrice in a lifetime.
Boo.
Yeah, not so much.
I throw fruit at you, Blair.
Yes, that was Blair. Speaking of Blair, this comes from Blair on Twitter at BD Inside Pulse. He, you know, we had a nice little conversation, and he did want me to share with Joel that his favorite WrestleMania moments were the same. You both like the same WrestleMania moments. Joel, what were your favorite WrestleMania moments?
See, when I heard this, I mentioned last week that my favorite WrestleMania moments were the things that were, by and large, callbacks to WrestleMania 28, namely Daniel Bryan trying to win his match in 18 seconds, and Cena having a, you know, faking out of doing the Rock or the People's Elbow and then hold himself on the ropes. I'm saying it because I enjoyed continuity, but unless I'm mistaken, and it's possible because this is Twitter and you can't really express yourself too deeply on Twitter, it'll cut you off.
Right.
But is one of Blair's favorite moments take place in Twice in a Lifetime?
I don't know.
Blair has just earned himself another podcast to explain himself.
Absolutely. we were planning on that in the future, but so, we might have to bump that up. Just so
next
we can explain.
Week.
There you go.
So, yeah, we will definitely get Blair back on here because I want to hear Blair say those words.
Well, that's it for me.
That was it for me as well.
We want to thank Rhett for coming on here. Thank you, Rhett.
Thank you so much, Rhett. It was awesome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
We'll definitely have you back for WrestleMania 30 to see how wrong we all were, except for Titus O'Neil.
Except for Titus
O'Neil
and Mark Henry for the World Heavyweight title.
Man.
Do you have anything you want to plug real quick, Rhett? Now's your time. Now's your chance.
Your Twitter account, Facebook account.
Yeah, Twitter at RADMANN9 and Facebook at Rhett Davis. And I usually try to give all my raw thoughts while I'm watching, if I'm watching. And that's it.
We do enjoy our Twitter conversations on Raw.
With all the big E butt cheek love.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all.
Alright, for us, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We tweet every Monday, appropriate Sundays when we can. Just, you know,
constant wrestling conversation.
All the time. Yeah, we love it. It doesn't matter what day it is. You feel like, you know, sending us some wrestling-related stuff to talk about. We've been talking about Fandango all week on Twitter.
But never again.
Never again.
Thanks, Jerry. That's my new thanks, Obama.
Thanks Jerry.
Jerry.
It wasn't okay. Jerry's fault.
And if you would like to be included in Chris's mail sack, you can send all of your questions, comments. Joel is shaking his head at
nobody
right now.
Wants that.
Shut up. questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, your hate mail, send it all to classyringattire@gmail.com.
Don't forget, we are on iTunes. It's fantastic. You can subscribe there. You get new episodes every week. Give us a rating there of
4 stars. It's 5 stars.
5 stars would be fantastic. Give us a review. It's great for everybody.
Oh, yeah. And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We also have new columns this week by myself where I talk about who should be the next John Cena. And Joel, you will have...
I will have, by and large, the, just what you've just listened to in text form so you can show all your friends.
And you can follow us along as you listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
So leave us a comment on there. Check all that stuff out.
God, we should have done that when you know you're through. It's time to turn the page. Bring.
Well, yeah, there's that. Uh-huh. Next year.
Next year.
Next year.
When you hear this sound, this business, it's time to turn the page.
Or it's time for the Triple H match.
Finally, we want to remind you about the Kickstarter that we are endorsing.
Yes, we cracked $1,000 this week.
We did. It was fantastic. Woo. We are trugging right along. Trucking and chugging.
All of those.
We are moving right along.
We have a little over 25 days as of Tuesday today.
Yeah, we're doing really good. We're right on track, but we would love to stay on track.
Absolutely.
If you can, there will be links in the show notes to anything and everything you could need. Just if you could donate, that great. If you could just share this with your friends, help get the word to people who can donate, that's also fantastic.
And if you have any questions about it, you can contact us through Twitter or email. Ask us anything you want, and we will definitely get you an answer.
All right. Until next time, stay classy, and huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Thank you.